8:09 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office joins us this morning. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you as always. Anything happen over the weekend that we don't already know about?
You know, we had a kind of an active weekend this weekend. One case, it turned out okay. We had some burglaries reported Friday night on into Saturday morning down in our Gulf Breeze area. So just kind of in response to those burglaries, deputies were in the area, and they had occasion to come across a juvenile male that was out walking around about 3:30 in the morning. So that aroused a little bit of suspicion. So as they got out and made contact with this young man, they found that he had some property that had been taken from previous burglaries in the evening. So he was subsequently identified as our burglar and charged accordingly. So
well,
that was
good.
We're disturbed that we had some burglaries, but we're glad that we were able to immediately find the perpetrator.
Now, was that a response to a citizen call, or did your deputies just kind of see him and say, oh, this doesn't look quite right?
No, the deputy was in the area just doing some proactive patrol, 3:30
nice.
In the morning, going through some neighborhoods, looking for stuff like that.
Oh, well, very good. That's why you do it, right? Anything else from
absolutely.
Over the weekend?
You know, we did have a case earlier early Sunday morning. It kind of bothers me a little bit. Deputies responded to a complaint about a domestic violence battery that had occurred at a home in East Milton. And when they made contact with the victim, they learned that she had been battered several times by her live-in boyfriend, one sustaining some injuries that did ultimately require a little bit of medical treatment. And he, during the course of this battery, he refused to allow her to leave the home. Obviously, she was trying to escape from him, and he held her against her will. So after deputies kind of got there and got things figured out, they wound up arresting that man for battery, domestic violence, and false imprisonment.
Mm. You know, you mentioned something that's kind of a small element of this case. It was a live-in boyfriend, and it sort of reminds me that the as I understand it, and you correct me if I'm wrong or confirm me that I'm right, that when it comes to child welfare, the greatest danger to children is typically the non-married male boyfriend who's in the house, and also, you know, the non-dad, okay? But also that you have a much greater chance of domestic violence when you have cohabitation among unmarried people. It's not that married people never have these problems, but it is that unmarried situation that is more likely to produce these things. Am I right about that, wrong about that?
You know, I can't speak to any hard and fast data about that,
okay.
Andrew, but anecdotally I can tell you that certainly makes sense. Throughout my career, I've noticed what does seem to be a disproportionate occurrence of these type of events in blended situations like that.
Okay. And that's fair, and I don't want to press you to go beyond the data that you have able to. I just know that's what I've heard and been told quite a bit, and it makes sense based on my understanding of what marriage does to domesticate men, and just sort of a whole wide range of social factors as well. I also wanted to ask you something, and you and I had talked about this a little bit before, but with the courthouse coming, and we talked, you know, I got a chance to see the outside of the courthouse, you know that. I love that we're doing it. It was a big controversy over the funding. I think it is necessary, even though people didn't want it. It's going to be greater capacity in a variety of different ways, better safety. You and I have talked about this before. But it made me think of something. We had an interview with Tom Danheiser, the First Judicial Circuit Court judge, about this on Friday. The courts have been off and on closed for criminal trials, and they've been closed for civil trials for almost a year now. How has that affected your deputies' operations and or, for example, the jail that you guys oversee?
Well, that's had a pretty big impact on us, and as we move forward, it's going to continue. You know, anything that slows down the criminal justice system, if you back up on one point, you're going to back up on down the line just as well. We have inmates sitting in our jail that are waiting to go to trial. Some, you know, they've gotten those out that they can, but there are some inmates that just have to be in jail until trial. And if they're not having trial, then they're going to sit right in the Santa Rosa County Jail. They're not going to move until their case is resolved. So the longer you hold off those court cases, the longer we have inmates in the jail that aren't moving. If it weren't for a steady influx of inmates that continue to come into jail, that might not be that big of a deal. But if you keep putting in and not taking out, you know, eventually you're going to be at capacity.
None.
So slowing down the criminal justice system backs us up on that end.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to know. I don't ask you to quantify it on the spur of the moment, but you know, you guys have recently expanded your facility at the jail with the annex or whatever, or with the extra facility. But it would seem obvious that to the degree you have crowding, part of the crowding is due to the courts being closed for criminal trial to be able to be finalized. Is that fair?
That's a fair statement, and you know, we continue to do the best we can to mitigate that.
Sure.
By handling cases with warrants or notices to appear when available. And you know, anybody that's coming through that is eligible for a bond, they're getting bond, they're getting bond reductions. We're getting people in and out as efficiently as we possibly can, and judges are doing the same thing.
Sure.
with their bonds, you know. So if somebody does not have to be in jail, the system is doing what it can to not keep them in jail.
Well, and you know, look, obviously from an efficiency and cost perspective, but obviously from a civil rights perspective too. I mean, people are entitled to a speedy trial under the Constitution, and they're just not getting it these days. Hey, last question for you, Chief Tucker. I was talking to Chief Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. You know, Larry Keefe was announced, U.S. Attorney, is stepping down. This is somewhat common when administrations change due to politics. Unfortunate, because I thought Larry Keefe was doing a fantastic job. How do you guys feel about the transition?
You know, like you said, it's kind of it's really a routine thing. We worked well with Larry. I had an opportunity to meet him a few times. He seemed like a very impressive prosecutor, and you know, from that standpoint, we're going to miss him. But we're going to move on and press on and do what we have to do, whomever the AUSA is. And, you know, I have confidence that they will install somebody that will be able to do, you know, the same things that Larry's done. But we're going to miss working with him. Larry was good to work with.
Yeah, I mean, from effectiveness to transparency to just being available for, you know, I mean, you know, that seemed to be all mm-hmm. of that wrapped up into one. Well, Chief Deputy Shane Tucker at Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, sir, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for the perspective. And as always, thank you for the work. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.